Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One or Hop Up podcast for episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing great. I always say that. Well, actually, no, I don't. But particularly great because I'm officially fun employed starting last Friday before law school. So I am just like
work.
Today could be Saturday. Today could be Friday. I'm like finally appreciating what a retiree might feel where the days of the week blend together. Mm-hmm. But how was your work day today, Brian?
My work day was good. We're recording this earlier than normal, which is weird. It's kind of nice. Like the sun is still out. Birds are chirping. Feel good. Like
I'm
recording
not
and not late. So, you know, I really was hungry. So I ate really quickly when I got home because I realized I don't want to get hungry halfway through and then try to rush through this. So I want to be fully fed and ready to rip on every single guy in this house.
Welcome to my world. What we're alluding to is our scheduling is usually based on my commute home. So I usually can't record before a certain time. And if I can't, if like Brian needs me to record earlier, it's I cut dinner. And I notice that the shows where I cut dinner are much, much worse. Just I'm much angrier. So now that Brian had to like rush into dinner, I'm living this luxurious life. I had ice cream at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow. Did you play any shuffleboard?
No, not yet. I'm actually building my own board with chalk. I don't know how do people do that.
All right. Is that hopscotch?
I thought about it, but I meant shuffleboard. I just feel like I could chalk the triangles.
I guess so.
DIY.
The puck part is the harder part of shuffleboard, not the board.
Like a dreidel, I will make it out of clay. All right, let's get to this episode because I have to tell you that this to me is like this episode reminded me what I love about Are You the One? And I feel like I finally just like my eyes just opened to it, which is that Are You the One is like a concentrated version of like your friends like goings on. Like not your friends personally, Brian. I don't know your friends, but just in general, like the general.
My friends who are not anything like these people, but I guess possibly.
I just think it's like it's a concentrated version of like one summer of high school parties where it's like you're in the same friend group. It's like incestuous or whatever. And like the girls like the same guys, the guys like the same girls. He mistreated her. And then there's just instead of it being like one Saturday night a week, it's every day in the Are You the One house. So I'm watching this being like, at times people have been the Francesca, at times people have been the Tori. I hope no one's been the Asaf, but who knows? You know, it's just like, I feel like it's just like pure human relationship-ness. And I love it. I love like this. I'm like, oh, that's my friend Karen doing that. Saw her do that last week.
I created my own motto for the show and I've been sticking by it. It's embrace the absurd and root for chaos. That's what I do with the show. And I've enjoyed it ever since. The last couple of weeks have been the best of the in a long time for the show.
I always like it, but I'm glad to hear that you're back on board.
I
will bring my usual disclaimer to this particular episode that we are only going off of what we've seen on the episode. A lot of people jumped on Periscope, a lot of people jumped on Twitter saying that you missed a lot. Obviously, they cut out a lot. We're operating on the highlights here, and we're gonna talk about you based on what we've seen.
Here's a question. Is MTV being too transparent with these people, allowing them to talk too much? At a certain point, should the show be the show?
I mean, that's fair. I know we wondered that last year. Like Stacey was like a big proponent of like, here's what actually happened. And then was like, oh wait, I got in trouble. Like I'm not supposed to say that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they just haven't locked them down yet. I don't know. But basically everyone is taking a Periscope, which is only making it more difficult to follow them.
But it's not like they're locking them down. I think they're like saying like, they're going to be on our Periscope. They're going to go on our Snap. Like they're letting them go on their own platform. It's not even like they're just firing up their own Periscope. Like these are just,
they are.
I thought they were going on like MTV's Periscope.
No, so everybody basically goes on their own Periscope. And then in addition, once a week, they'll do a Facebook Live with maybe the most important people of the episode. And they'll get like real softballs lobbed to them. And, that's when Michaela and Cameron talked about their relationship. And this week they had Tori and Francesca, which I was really looking forward to. Totally skip it. totally 15 minutes of absolute pointlessness.
Yeah. They figure, I guess it was a long time ago they got over it.
And I think what you're talking, like, yeah, I think it kind of sucks that basically people go on Twitter and say, like, here's what was actually happening in the house. But I think the fact that they don't have a reunion, MTV is kind of like, as long as you don't say who your perfect match is, whatever.
Right. Right. I guess so.
They're being very careful. Like, Camille was like taking questions for her blog. And then she was like, if you ask me about my relationship status, obviously I'm not going to answer it. But they are like basically answering everything but that.
Okay. I guess that's good to a certain point. I guess if people want that, they can go out and search for it. I would just rather enjoy the show for what it is. But that's me.
I agree with you. If I didn't have this podcast, I definitely wouldn't be watching these people's Periscope.
Right.
It's not a highlight of my life.
Someone's got to do it, though, and I appreciate that you are doing it.
Can I just complain about something? And this will actually, I promise, take us into the episode.
If we couldn't complain about anything, we wouldn't have a podcast. So go ahead.
All right. Another innocent dessert takes a hit on MTV with this pie in the face by Tori. Like, how many desserts have to go uneaten and wasted on MTV shows before, you know, we create a hashtag and rally behind them or something?
It's a travesty, and something needs to be done about it. You're absolutely right. Cake, pie. Next thing you know, they'll be smashing cookies on the floor.
I'm disgusted. And those eggs, that's just like pre-cookies.
Yeah.
They haven't lived up to their potential.
Yeah. Wow, I almost made a really like borderline like bad line joke, and I stopped myself. So I'm proud of myself. Okay.
See, I was thinking that calling eggs pre-cookies was a bad joke because like the vegans or animal rights activists of the world would maybe suggest that they're pre-chickens. But for me, I see an egg and I see a potential baked good.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm going to make a really bad joke and like get myself in trouble. Let's move on to something else, please.
Okay, so something more pleasant. Asaf licking the pie off Tori's face. A man after my own heart, not wanting to see the dessert go completely wasted. And then we get a lewd comment from Gio, which I can't wait to talk to you about what you think of how Kaylin is painting Gio, how MTV is painting Gio, and how we think Gio actually is.
Okay.
Here we get a lewd comment like, oh, like I set you up with the alley oop, like take her in the shower, slam it down, which they're trying to piggyback off of his comments about Camille 2 weeks ago entering the elimination. And then that sets up the beginning of the end for Kaylin and Gio.
This to me was, I didn't even think anything of it for Gio. This was so far down the list of offenses and things that annoy me about him. So this to me wasn't on the radar for him being annoying.
So what annoys you about him?
Everything else to do with Kaylin and the way he interacts with her. That's where I can't stand them. The one day marriage, the one day I need space, the one day we'll work through it, the one day we're done. And then it's, oh no, let's still get that. He is so over the top dramatic. I can't handle it.
I've said this before on the podcast for Are You the One, and I'll say it again. Gio is the most emotionally forward person and then doesn't back it up. Like, there's no greater crime you could commit in my eyes than being emotionally forward and then acting like nothing ever happened. Like, I'm going to marry you. Like, whoa, whoa, you're really all up in my face. Like, I need some space. Like, then just don't say you're going to marry her. And then she's having an appropriate reaction. But I will say that I think I'm on your side here with these. I feel like the editing and Kaylin are working together to be like, I can't trust you because you're making these comments about other women. To me, these were like so innocuous. They didn't even need to be aired.
To me, you shouldn't be able to trust him because he said he would marry you after a week. That to me is like the whoa moment, not the get it, girl, get it.
Yeah, so she's just she's a little late to the game on the red flag here.
Like I totally understand everyone who always says it goes on a reality show like, oh, it's relationships always hyper. They goes because you're always with them. Like a week feels like a month and a month feels like a year. I totally get that. I totally understand where you may feel like you love someone. But there is a huge jump from feeling like you may love someone to like being like, I'm going to marry you. That's a huge leap. And that's where Gio loses me.
Yeah, no, Gio definitely doesn't mean what he's saying. Like, Gio, I feel like, is a huge caught up in the moment, like, guy and just said it without realizing like the weight of what he was saying. But then we have like Cameron and Michaela here with this, I mean, kind of unnecessary moment. Yeah. And they're saying they're in love. So to me, I mean, it's like The Bachelor was built on the concept that there is absolutely no time needed between love and marriage. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just, I think it just so happens that if Gio continued down this path with Kaylin, like, we'd be expected to buy it and see an on-air proposal and potentially MTV sponsored wedding. But because Gio backs out, we're like, oh, how could she have ever believed this? You know, like, meanwhile, Michaela and Cameron are talking about being in love.
But basically, this is what a relationship with Gio probably is in real life, right? Like, you fall madly in love after 2 weeks, you feel like you're going to fall in love, and he sees someone else who's pretty, catches his eye, and then it's done. So she just got, like, the hyper version of it in the house.
This is probably going to be, this next scene is, like, the realest thing we've ever had to talk about, unfortunately. I'm not looking forward to talking about this, but this is the time with Gio and Kaylin in the Boom Boom Room. To me, it's just, like, the... It's like a classic miscommunication between men and women where, first of all, the fact that Gio would even take her into the Boom Boom Room in response to her being upset is like a major misstep. But she's super upset.
So let's go. I'm going to take the bullet on this one and take her to the Boom Boom Room for some privacy time. That was his logic. I'll take the bullet here, guys. Don't worry.
When Kaylin says this, like she starts crying, says that you're doing this for yourself, not for me. And what Gio hears is rejection. So he's like, you know, it's just sex. It's no big deal, which is the absolute worst thing he could say to Kaylin. Like, I was just watching this and I was like, all right, somebody needs to explain. Hey, Gio, Kaylin's not pushing you away. She wants you to bring her closer. Like,
right.
Kaylin, Gio is feeling rejected. Like, I just feel like I could hear my girlfriends and guy friends telling me the story and just having two different sides. And to see the two of them side by side, like, almost made me want to, like, Dr. Phil into the scene.
I feel like this isn't the first time a girl has cried to Gio in bed.
That's like not a path I need to walk down. Just thinking about it. It's like not where I need to be.
But yeah, this is more of Gio being Gio, right? Like he just doesn't, like he tries to be emotionally forward, but then like in an actually emotional moment, he just is a complete bonehead.
I guess I just think I was more sympathetic to Gio here because I could see what he was interpreting just on a physical level as rejection, like a flag on the play, you know, a stopping and it's almost like he can't even process what she's trying to say because he just feels like actually physically rejected. I don't think he like was in the right, but I can sympathize with his position.
That's interesting. I didn't get there. So that's good. I'm glad you did.
Well, just cause Gio then says like you can't push people away like that, like, you know, assuming that confessional was actually about that moment. Again, we're only going off of what we see.
The show is the show.
Then I just could see like he has this like rejected moment. But yeah, I mean, he's a dirtbag, but I could see where his thought process was. Speaking of places I don't want to be, Sue, your favorite and mine, Plainview Sue. I always forget how to pronounce the Z.
Zauner.
Okay, Sue Zauner Cohen. Not to sound gross. As Brian's mom, she didn't write that. But do you think they changed the Boom Boom Room sheets? I love your mom. She's my favorite person.
Oh, my God.
So, Brian, what do you think?
Please, hopefully, yes. Next question.
But is it like, you know, other shows where, like, the house has to clean up for themselves? Or do they have, like, a cleaning crew come in and like, Ghostbuster hazmat suit the area?
Maybe they come during the challenges.
You can only hope.
Speaking of, this is the quick aside just to get anywhere off this topic as much as possible. Apparently, there's a bar in New York called the Boom Boom Room, and it's like really popular. And I had no idea. Did you know that?
Cool. Let's. All right. We're gonna plan a bar night. No, just kidding.
Well, supposed to be like a really famous like type place where a lot of celebrities go. So they were all going to the Boom Boom Room.
If cool people, famous people, and celebrities go there, you can sure as hell bet that I don't know about it. Oh, it's in the Standard.
Yeah, there you go.
I just didn't know it's called that because I'm not cool.
Dropping cool knowledge.
So there's nothing that makes it sound less cool than calling it cool knowledge. I have a really important question from Daniel Shelley.
Here we go.
Other than the obvious answer of lentils, what are some other foods you can eat off the butt?
I'll let you lead with that. What do you got?
You can't answer my question with another question. I asked the question. You answer the question.
It's not your question. It's the listener's question. I can't remember the name of the listener's question, and I'm curveballing it back to you.
If we did a podcast where I read the questions and then answered them, I would just be a one-man show doing the podcast.
Be the Mike Francesa of our app.
All right. The bottom line is there's this weird scene between Tori and Asaf. And I don't know. I guess part of what I'm going to say about the Francesca Asaf Tori triangle is influenced by the fact that I just like don't buy the connection anymore between Tori and Asaf. Like, I get that they think they're hot, each other's hot. I get that maybe they thought they were a perfect match, but I don't see any chemistry.
What's weird is actually Asaf is the only one even saying anything about Tori. At least he's giving some reason, like, oh, she's easygoing, she's fun, she's easy to talk to. Tori's just like, oh, he's beautiful. Oh my God, he's so attractive. Oh my God, I have to keep staring at him. Like, that was literally the only thing she ever said about him this entire episode. Other than, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I wasn't buying it, or maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm rooting for, I made so many predictions about Asaf. I just need one of them to be right.
Right.
I think Tori's the only girl I didn't predict would be with him. Mm-hmm. All right. So then there's this conversation with Gio and Julia, which I have to point out from last week or 3 weeks episode aired.
Just quickly before that.
Sure.
What about the bombshell shocker of the season that Asaf is not well off with money? How about that surprise?
Didn't they show that in like his bio?
Did they say he was
like,
poor?
I don't have a lot of money. Like, I'm pretty sure that scene with him in the tank top we saw in his bio, like the bio reel. So that I was like, I couldn't believe that was part of the show. Like, that was just a description of him. I didn't realize he was going to say that to a girl in the house.
Ugh, I always off.
But then it's like, it's almost like, I don't know if it's because he's saying it in an accent or if it's because he's saying it to someone of our independent woman generation, like millennial, I could take care of myself, I don't need a man situation, where like he can say, what if I can't take care of you financially? And she's like, I've been taking care of myself my whole life. So it's almost like she walks away from this as though they had like a really positive exchange, mm-hmm. when really like, I'm poor, is that okay? But because he said it in an accent like, yep. this, it was so fun. It was good.
That's all you gotta do. Say thing. I almost thought he was gonna get away with telling her that he slept with Francesca. It's just he said it in like in that type of way. I thought she'd be like, "Oh, okay, cool," and then just moved on. But I think she finally like started listening to the words he was saying, and then yeah, then shit got real.
This was actually a really important thing. I think these past four episodes are critical in determining where the line is on what people with accents can get away with saying. So it's like, I have no money. You're like my sister, fine. I slept with someone else, boom, you've hit the wall.
I get the sense that you can say, if you say I slept with someone else in any other language, no matter what, that's never really going to go over well.
Yeah, this is, I mean, everyone is doing important work.
Yeah.
We can now definitively say where the line is.
It is decided.
I didn't realize how much he would get away with saying, though.
Like, yeah, pushed it a lot. He pushed the envelope a lot.
So good for you, Asaf. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service.
And now Gio talking about his hammer, yeah.
Please continue.
This was actually a funny scene, I thought. This could be the type of scene that happened like months later, and like they're just showing it now. But this to me felt like a fun flirty moment between Gio and Julia, and I had no problem with it. Other than the fact that Gio just said the night before that he was going to marry someone else. But if you put that aside and just focus on the actual scene, then yeah, it could be funny.
Yeah, so allegedly, Kaylin reports that this conversation occurred week one, that this was like the first interaction between Gio and Julia, but fear not, they were sleeping together, I think she said, at least together prior to this conversation.
Oh, there
so
you go.
He gets the defense of it not having been week four, but not the defense of it being before his relationship with Kaylin. Are you surprised? And we're going to dig into this with the Tori Asaf thing. But I feel like this season, overall, this cast is, they're taking the relationships, like the couplings in the house, way more seriously than in the past. Or am I just having recency bias?
I mean, I think it's pretty similar to the other. I mean, like the Devin and Kiki thing was pretty serious last year, right? And then I honestly can't remember some of the couples last season. I would need to look it up, but I feel like they were pretty serious. I mean, no one was dropping like the marriage bombs, but in terms of like Alyssa and Sam and some of these other people, I think that's pretty constant to the show.
That's right. I guess I just keep thinking of our interview with Zach, which I guess is not from the show.
I think also the big thing is this season compared, like at least last season, like they blacked out, which cleared a lot of reset the board. And then they got like one or two matches, which caused a lot of people to reset. Here, they're getting like four or three new matches every week. So it's like a lot of the people could be like, oh, that's probably still one of us. So they have no reason to move on. And then it's just keeping building emotions.
That's it. That feels like the difference. Cause yeah, they're not getting broken up as quickly or getting any reason to doubt it. So like, even if they only had one match, right. It's like this, they're like, oh, half of us are right. So it's definitely me.
Right. But let's say they just got the one beam this week. Then all of a sudden next week, Alyssa and Sam and Gio and Kaylin would both have to look at each other. We're like, all right, well, one of us is wrong, but they didn't get that. So they can both just keep going on.
Right. One thing I will say is like, you know, Julia gets a lot of shit and I really don't like her. But I feel like if Gio and Tori were having this conversation, no one would care.
I don't not like Julia as much as a lot of people. I think she's fine. I have no problem. Like, I guess the leading John on was like annoying, but she just tries to be nice. And I think she just be overly nice to a point of like not being nice. But there's a lot worse people that we've seen on this show.
Spoken like a real guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no mistake that every single guy is into Julia because she plays this drama free, I'm just nice to everyone card. But I got like, I believe truly that it is so much more manipulative and so much more synonym for manipulative.
Diabolical.
Like, no, I just think it's like so much more purposeful than. Like, I can't believe it's not just that she's being nice because we see so many moments where she's actually being horrific and terrible. And then we see these moments where she's nice and it just all fits into the same picture of that classic. Like the most telling line is when she was like, my mom told me that girls are jealous of me because I'm better than them or whatever the line was. I mean, the fact that that's what she was told and what she believes just says everything I need to know about her and how to watch her on the show.
Classic mean girl line.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you're falling for her just like all the other guys are.
I'm not
in terms
falling
of,
for her.
I don't mean for her.
I just think if we're listing people who suck on this show, she's further down the list. I would have her further down the list than probably other people.
Like who?
I
like this. Let's list the people who suck. Actually, Haley asked us to do this. We'll get to that later.
Well, the first five, I think, probably are all guys. So there's that.
And?
I mean, I would need to...
There were some names.
All right. Well, you got Gio, Aesop, Tyler, not shown on the show, but probably the worst of them all, Morgan. They all suck. John sucks. I still don't like Emma. I don't like Francesca. Who else do we got? I'm looking at them and that's all right. So there's seven. So maybe Julia is like eighth or ninth.
Yeah. I just love like, don't keep this stuff bottled up. Like when you don't just say other people suck more.
Probably,
I love you. Like John sucks. Gio sucks.
I probably
that's my wouldn't, favorite part of the podcast.
I probably won't like Cam. He just hasn't been on.
Based on nothing. I hate this.
On nothing. I just assume Prosper. I like, but I'm like, I'm worried he's going to start getting airtime and I won't like him.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a sensitivity, right? Like, it depends on what you don't like about a person. Like, yeah, some people just, like, suck. Like, Gio's annoying, and this, like, will they, won't they thing is annoying. But in terms of just, like, tactical manipulation, I just have no time for Julia. I'm not here for it, as the youth would say.
There you go.
Is that what people are saying now? I heard, like, I think Johnny said it on the last podcast, and I was like, oh...
Is that what people are
it.
Saying now? What's a like a geekier phrase? Is that what people are saying now or cool knowledge?
Cool knowledge, 100%. Because is that what people are saying now? Is me as a 25-year-old ironically saying that?
I know what people are saying. Wasn't ironic?
No, I don't think so. Let's let the audience decide.
Want to get the dirty laundry?
I feel like they've used this challenge name before.
They definitely have. I thought so too. They've used it every season, I feel like.
But it's not the same challenge. It's not like they're like an old favorite, dirty right. laundry.
No, they always have this. I feel like this was like the name of the episode, the name of the challenge, like when the axes came one time. But
I mean, that would be I literally pulled that.
I pulled that out of my ass. I have no idea if that's true.
I'll give you full credit.
Yeah.
One thing before you explain the challenge, because my only notes on the actual context of the challenge, like the actual setup of the challenge, is just that Camille has the best clothes. When they walked out and explained the challenge, I was just like, I'm living for Camille's burgundy, like, spandex tracksuit. That's not what it's called.
Shout out to Camille. I felt so bad. They all had to, like, basically dress in bathing suits while Ryan's in, like, a winter coat. But there you go.
If you looked like these girls, Ryan, you wouldn't be in a winter coat.
I guess that's very true. But the challenge for this week, there are 9 quotes for each of the 9 guys about something disgusting that they do. The girl has to swim through a pool of dirty laundry, pick the quote, swim back, and put it around the name of the person that they think said it. But do it all for 9 people.
I have a couple bones to pick with it. Well, first of all, they claimed it was toilet water. I mean, why even say that? Just say water. Just say exactly what you did. Go through the laundry.
I mean, toilet water is just water. It's just in like in a toilet. And since they're not in a toilet, it's not toilet water.
It was totally misplaced. I mean, who hangs their laundry above their toilet?
No one since like the 500s.
Did they have indoor plumbing then?
Well, they hung up like outside and like porta potty water
just over the little hole that they dug.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, history with Brian and Allie. So the other thing is these were supposed to be facts about hygiene. What does overusing the word penis have to do with your hygiene?
Sam is just so pristine, he doesn't have any disgusting things wrong with him.
Don't tell me that long-haired football player Sam doesn't have one or two gross habits to report.
If he does, he's hiding them pretty well. Just like he's hiding his fake love for all Disney shows.
So I have a question about these guys. So
that's a joke.
I gotcha. I don't want it to feel like we have a laugh track. Just, people will laugh amongst themselves listening to the podcast and won't hear that I didn't laugh.
I wish we had a laugh track. That'd be so fun. If we had, I wish we had a soundboard.
One thing, though, is I want to know from your perspective, you're a guy. How true is this? Like, which disgusting habit is most, would you say, is like most common for guys? Like, which didn't surprise you at all?
Maybe, I guess, either the farting a lot or not washing your hands every time, I guess. I mean, eating nails is super weird. I don't know what the hell that was about.
Protein.
Prosper. Keep being in the background. I can still like you. Pooping your pants twice is most definitely not normal. So Steve has got to check what's going on there. None of these are great.
I just had to pick my job off the floor that you were willing to admit that you don't wash your hands, quote, every time.
I'm not admitting that. I'm saying those are the two most, I would assume, commonplace things for people to admit. That was your question. Don't put
no,
me in
I
a
said
box.
From a guy's perspective, which are most common for guys, not for people to admit. What are you not willing to admit that you do, Ryan? These are just what you're going to admit.
I don't like where you're going with this.
See, I thought that doesn't wash bed sheets is like.
I honestly didn't even see that quote on the board.
Tyler does not wash his bed sheets.
Oh, I missed that one.
I mean, literally ever or like not the. You know, amount of times you're supposed to.
Has anyone had less of an impact after a premiere than Tyler? Like any show? Has he spoken since Nicole put him in like a coffin at the matchup ceremony?
I mean, it was to the point where when he got matched up at the matchup, I wrote like, all right, the rejects together. And then there were still 2 people actually after him. I just assumed he was last.
And it feels so long ago. I don't even remember what Tyler did. Like, what did he do that made him such an asshole? I just remember I don't like him. I literally have no idea what he did, though.
Ironically, to be talking about it again this episode, he invited Francesca to the Boom Boom Room.
That's what it is. Oh, Francesca causing trouble.
All right, so back to this. All right, so what you're saying to me is you don't have a hairy back, but you don't wash your hands. So it's like pros and cons here.
There you go. That's exactly what I said.
All right, so Emma wins and she gets the power to match up her arch nemesis, Julia, and then Tori. Anyone's nemesis.
I love how she completely forgot that she was going to be matching up both people when she won. That was good.
Did she? I didn't miss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she had a face. She was like, oh, shit, that's right. I have to do this other stuff, too.
Let's break down her picks here.
Her logic was actually pretty sound. If her endgame was wanting to put Tori and Aesop into the truth booth, which is a pretty good, I have no problem. They seem like a good pair up until what happens the night after. But I think it was a pretty good idea to put two people together you didn't think were a match. And then I don't know why she picked Steven for herself. That was kind of weird. But the logic behind the other two made sense.
Yeah, I mean, overall, okay, if the goal is to get, as you're saying, Tori and Asaf into the truth booth, fine. But she is so certain that John is her match. And first of all, it's another half measure when she says, like, I'm not going to pick John. Great, just don't pick him. You don't need to say it. And then she says, because he's going to be miserable. It's like, why say anything? Just don't pick John. Just appear strong, even if you want to. Or alternatively, pick John and go to the truth booth and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Could definitely do that. The fake out of picking John for Julia was amazing, though. That was fun.
No, that was very funny. I think Emma has such potential, but this whole thing with John and Julia kind of just like wrecked her in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
If she fell for someone that like reciprocated her feelings or she didn't get involved in this whole thing, like I feel like Emma had potential to be like a very cool, funny girl on the show.
Yeah, if they were the week one truth booth, it could have been much different.
But I do think that picking Steven, as you were saying, was so dumb because he doesn't want to be, he probably wants to be with you less on that date with you, not be with you in general, but on the date with you less than John, he wants to be there less than John would. So that was just like a total revenge pick and made absolutely no sense unless somehow, some way they're going to say like, oh, well, I wanted Julia to at least be able to be with Steven. So it was like a nice pick. I didn't want them to be matched up, but like they could hang out.
Yeah, not buying that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. I'm just trying to see all sides. I think it was like a total stupid pick.
That's usually the answer. Total stupid.
I think she should have picked John and just been done with it. Because at what point are they ever going to get matched up if she's the one making the matches and doesn't even pick him?
Right, right.
It's like what you go back to all the time of like the matches are already set. So it's not like anything you can do can change your match. It's not like if you pick him and he's not into you, you won't be a match.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. Smart guy who said that.
Debatable. No, I didn't want to say debatable. I wanted to say remains to be seen because that's hopeful.
There you go.
All right. So what's next here? Come on. Help me out.
Geo wanting.
My notes are getting a little jumbled.
Geo wanting space from Kaylin. This is it. This is the beginning of the end.
Oh, but I also think this setup, though, before he says he needs space, does kind of make Kaylin, like, it almost justifies Geo's reaction because if we're assuming we're only seeing, like, a couple snippets, and in the beginning of the episode, we see Kaylin pulling him aside for various unnecessary issues of, like, catcalling other girls, and now we see him, like, you know, you're pulling away from me, pulling him away again. It's like I almost needed space from this scene.
Yeah, she did come across as a little bit like the crazy ex-girlfriend, like piercing around the corner while he's trying to like have a fun night with his boys. Like that wasn't a great look for her, but at least she did it rationally. She's like, well, before I get drunk and you get drunk, I want to just be able to talk about this now. So I did kind of understand it. And she was right. I mean, he did want space. Wasn't like he was just like, no, I just want to hang out with my friends. Like, no, he just wanted to break up with you.
The irony of all ironies is that Gio remarks, I'm married already. Yeah, because you proposed yesterday. Yeah.
Fucking jackass.
But Kaylin, yes, I think Kaylin handles herself well. And Ana Jose has a question about that. But she also notably says that instead of just saying, as you said, effing jackass and moving on. She's like, he's just afraid, you know, because he loves me so much. And Anna Jose says, were you impressed with Kaylin's handling of the breakup? And do you agree that Gio is so afraid of love that he's sabotaging himself, or is he just a douche?
I just on the second point, I think that's like a myth that girls like to create for themselves about when a guy like is pulling away. It's like, oh, no, he's just scared to commit. This is why I need to push harder. It's like, no, if the guy wanted to be with you, he would just be with you. Like, that's just the way it is. Don't trick yourself into thinking that.
A very, very wise person once said to me, he has your number.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. I mean, that's what Kayla needs to subscribe to here. He has your number. He deleted it. You're hot. Like, press on. You know, I would actually go cry, but then pretend to press on. But like, mm-hmm. to rationalize, like, he's just afraid of how much he loves me. That's a little thin.
Yeah. Don't let yourselves believe that, girls. Those listening. It's not true. That's the case. He's just not that into you.
I'm not going to let you mansplain that to my listeners, my female listeners. So cutting you off there. I mean, if the two options are only that he's so in love that he's sabotaging, or he's a douche, like, I want to say that there's a third scenario where...
Well, just because a guy's not into you doesn't mean he's a douche.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, is that there's a third scenario where he was emotionally forward, which makes him a douche. He went too hard on something before he realized like that he wasn't that into it. And now he's got buyer's remorse and is trying to get out of it. Like, it's douche moves, but I don't think he's breaking up with her just to be a douche.
No, it's just him being overly emotional, which he honestly should have seen coming after he just proposed after a week, which it all goes back to that.
I have a question. I have a personal question, Brian.
Oh, boy.
So you're at, let's just say you're at like a couple week retreat with your girlfriend and some other people, and you're about to leave, but you have all these friends, and she says, you know, let's enjoy ourselves with everyone tonight. Do you take that to mean like, let's have a good time with all of our friends, we're going to spend enough time with each other later? Or do you take that to mean let's have sex with someone else?
I just thought of this. This is what Aesop should have done. He could have gone with like the language barrier thing again. He should have said like something like, oh, by good time in my culture, that means like go fuck someone else in the house. That's where I know. And then if he did that, he could have pulled it off. That was his out. He had an out. He needed to do the language barrier.
He didn't have an out. That's not working on Tori. Tori's a badass bitch. It's not working on Tori.
That's what he should. He need, when in doubt, go to the language barrier. It's a great move.
Just a piece of advice. If you're ever in this situation, there is no when in doubt, go to the language barrier. I have a free pass here. That's not going to fly. No, let me just woman-splain that to you. Okay. It's not working out.
But no, of course not. He's again, don't like Aesop. Aesop sucks.
What didn't suck was the condom product placement. We're back with the condom product placement. Mm-hmm. That was perfection.
Right. I was surprised she didn't say the name, like the brand name, when she asked for a condom.
All right, here's, I gotta say, I'm not trying to jump on the Francesca hate wagon. I think I really am seeing this from all sides, but I will say that Francesca and him, when they're in the confessional and she's like, you're fucked, she has this big smirk on her face. Like, in Francesca's mind at this moment, she got her man back. You know, she achieved something. And I don't think she ever expected, you know, the reaction to be what it was, especially from Aesop.
Yeah. And the worst of it was when they were like in the boom room, she was like, oh, is Tori gonna mind? Like, really? Oh, no, she'll be totally fine with this.
Yeah, that's like a shades of Christina and Tony, yeah, before they hooked up, talking about Madison,
mm-hmm,
or whichever number of girlfriends they were mentioning. It was never really by name, so
right.
Yeah, that was rough. But it just really takes us to the date, right? That's just like the setup to the explosion.
Basically, yeah. Which
we light the match in the boom boom room, and then we wait.
Wait for it to go off. Yeah, and it was a fantastic piece of like editing and confessional tie-in with this. It's like if you know a killer is behind the door and you see the person going up to the door and you're just waiting for them to open it, and then boom, they turn the knob and then head gets chopped off.
Which part, just everything in the lead up to this?
Yeah, with Tori, we're like, oh, Aesop has to tell me something really important. I think he's going to tell me he loves me. He's like, not quite. It's a little off.
So close. Yeah, that was pretty good. I think because she gets all these confessionals of like, we're going to be in the truth booth and I'm in heaven and we're a match. Like, I thought that was all like a little like laying it on a little thick. But I did. Yeah, the he loves me was priceless.
Yeah, he loves me not.
Then this made me I could Camille Asaf pretty much for this whole episode, with the exception Camille now being a verb to mean to forgive every indiscretion. I could Camille him, if not for when Tori says, who did you have sex with? And he said, who really wants me? Like, way to put it on Francesca when we saw the footage this off. Like, you can't just make it like, you know, Francesca beat you with a club and dragged you into the boom boom room.
Right. And why make her think in that moment? Like, giving her like a riddle.
It's who like, really want me?
Yeah. So her state, which this is also not a quick aside, but like a really weird move. Right after that scene, I don't know if you're watching it live on a DVR, but they did a commercial using that. They did that scene right again, but with emojis. And it was bananas. Did you see this?
No, I was all over that fast forward.
Oh, for anyone who watched it live and saw this commercial, I could not believe that they did the entire scene of like, oh, he's going to tell me I love me. And she'd like have like the heart emojis over her face. And then he started telling it. And then like there was like the questioning face. And then it's like I slept with someone else. And it was like, oh, anger faces. It was unbelievable commercial. I don't remember what it was for, but it was an amazing commercial.
Oh, I assumed it was like for Are You the One, like when they advertise their own show.
I think it might have been like for T-Mobile or Sprint or something.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I'll go back to that. Although I think you just painted a really good picture.
Yeah, it was, I wish they had this like network shows.
I'm really interested in hearing your reaction to, because like for someone who's Team Julia or not, I mean, I don't want to put you on any side, but for someone who's a Julia sympathizer, is that fair?
I'm a Julia neutral.
All right. Okay? I can't wait till you become a Julia apologist. That's going to be the best part of the season. Okay. All right. But as someone who's neutral to Julia, what do you make of this, of when Julia becomes like Tori's rescuer?
We have to remember, Julia also just doesn't like Asaf, right? Like that was from the premiere when, didn't he say like you have a fat ass? So I mean, unless that is completely blown over now, then fine. But my guess is she just never liked him to begin with. And now she just wants the excuse to blow up on him. And I'm sure she feels bad for Tori. Like, I don't know if they're friends, but if you see someone get told they just cheated on you, you're going to flip out on the guy. So
I've been the Julia before. It's one of my proudest moments and best anecdotes. I won't share it right now. It's not relevant, but I will say I have marched in on a guy on behalf of a friend. And what I will, so I have nothing but respect for a girl who wants to do this for another girl is my point. What I don't like is the irony here. And like, it's a lecture that falls on deaf ears from someone like Julia. Like when he's like, do you have a sister? Right? Like, do you want your sister to ever feel like Tori does? I have a brother and I don't want him to ever feel like John did. You know, it's just like those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Like those playing guys and girls should not lecture people.
It's fair. And normally I am a proponent of like trying to stay out of people's business. But this was a weird circumstance. Like they were basically because they were on a date and they weren't just in the house. So there was no one else to like confront her or then confront him. Like she kind of like almost had to, like, I don't know where the other whoever else was on this date, wherever Morgan was, I don't know where the hell other people were, but I feel she probably just felt like obligated to like do something.
Yeah. Again, as someone who has done this in a much more public situation, well, not on TV, I guess a less public situation. I have no problem with the action. I just have a problem with Julia feeling like she's the one who can deliver this lecture.
That's fair. No, that's a fair point. That's definitely. I can't argue with that.
But so then Tori comes then into the house sobbing. Like, I felt like this was, Asaf was totally in the wrong. It was effed up of him, especially knowing that they could potentially be going in the truth booth. Like, what poor timing to act on physical chemistry with Francesca. Mm-hmm. But to come in sobbing from the date, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel in this situation. I've definitely cried over less. But did you feel like this was a warranted reaction from her? Or were you surprised to see such a strong reaction?
No, I wasn't surprised because my guess, it seemed like this happened near the end of it. Like, didn't they had to go out through the water? My guess is this was like them wrapping up and then like just Danny told her. And then maybe she was trying to keep it all together when she was with him. And then she gets in the house and she kind of just like loses it. So I bought it. I mean, I didn't think it was like a front or over the top. I bought it completely.
I guess I don't think it's a front. I guess I just more mean I was surprised that Tori had such an intense reaction because like we see her being ruled not a match with Prosper. And I felt like it was her feelings for Prosper seemed deeper. But maybe it was just that it was like the betrayal as opposed to like actually losing Asaf.
Yeah, but I mean, also she was thinking he was about to say I love you. And based on how happy that was going to make her, I think she was going to say it back. So that I like to have your expectations that high. And then to not just to not hear it, but hear the exact opposite. I mean, that's world's going crumbling down.
Now that you mention it, actually, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I think Tori probably thought that Asaf was way more into her than she was into him. Because he's saying things like, you're going to fall in love with me. I can't financially support you, but is that okay? You know, like he's talking about mm-hmm. the future. Granted, it's not as forward as Gio, but I almost feel like Tori probably thought like Asaf is so into her, all about her, is like only paying attention to her, was clear with Francesca, broke it off with Francesca. And so now it's almost like she feels like she's in the power seat and gets, you know, the rug pulled out from under.
Right. Right.
It's a tense episode. It's a tense episode. So many relationships crumbling down. Yeah. This is like, it's not a blackout, but it was like a blackout socially. Like it was like a non-official blackout of just so many relationships crumbling.
I mean, it's almost worse, right? Because they like some of these people could still be matches, but now they just hate each other.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to loving each other and not being matches. It's quite the contrast.
All right, so Gio, like anytime Gio and Kaylin talk, like they speak the same language, but I need Google Translate.
Yeah, but how? Just a quick shout out to Nicole. Her reactions, like she's basically the Eliza on the jury of the season. Her reactions to any big moment have been off the charts. When Gio was like, yeah, we're basically broken up. And you just see her like jumping up on the couch and covering her mouth. Like that's like she feels like a viewer in the show watching all the craziness go happen live.
And her tweets like are totally in line with that. Like her tweets are like you tweeting about the show. Like it's like she is like literally just viewing the show from the inside. I love that.
She's great. She's great.
I hope we see more of her. There's, you know, I really like her just from the little bit we've seen. The one episode.
A plus follow up by our boy Ryan Devlin here when after Gio breaks up with Kaylin and she goes, I'm so effing angry. Devlin with Dr. Phil right here. So are you okay?
I don't know if he was like actually concerned of what she was going to do, like, or if he just had no words. I think Devlin, like me, and I don't even like they were calling him Devlin. Like, it's almost like too much respect. But yeah. Ryan, like me, is having like the translation issue of like Kaylin's sobbing, but she's angry. And Gio, like, inexplicably is breaking up with her. Like, now he goes from I need space to it's over, which Ryan is just walking in on. From 1 second, it was like, I'm going to marry this girl, like, keep that finger open. And now it's over. And he just has no words except, like, you okay?
Well, because his leader was like, all right, let's start with the strong couple in the house. It's like, whoop, wrong again.
Okay, this is where I think I misspoke for a change with the Tori thing, where I was just more surprised at how deep this ran with her and Asaf. I think I just didn't believe it, like, for myself. Like, I wouldn't have ever put them together, but let's accept that the emotions were as deep as they were, and this was a real betrayal. This then anger at Francesca of, like, did you vote for us today? Can you place that in context of all of this? Like, where does... Is that a normal... Like, should Francesca have not voted for them?
I mean, she probably should have, but I totally understand why she was like, that is like really fucked up to do. It's like, you're trying to break up me and Asaf, but still voting us to be together or to leave that. Like, it's like a weird move to be. I'm trying to think. I can't think of an analogy. There's an analogy out there. I just haven't like grasped it in my head yet. I'll probably figure it out like 30 minutes after when I'm podcasting. But to do that and then to still vote for them is a weird move. Like, I totally understand the anger.
How is it different, though, than like Emma voting in Julia and John? Like, don't you send people in the truth booth as the real way to break them up?
But she didn't like she tried to. I guess Emma tried to act on it, but like it wasn't reciprocated. Like there's a difference, I feel like, to when you're still interested in someone and voting them in versus acting on it and then still voting them in.
But see, again, it goes back to your principle of it's not going to change whether or not they're a match. So is the idea that Francesca has allegedly robbed Tori of any relationship with her potential match. So now Francesca needs to leave Tori in the house to hook up with other people's perfect matches. And then later they'll figure out that Tori and Asaf were a match. Like, Tori's angry that Francesca is now playing in line with the rules of the game.
She's probably deep down, she's really just angry that she hooked up with him to begin with. But so then it's like, so you hooked up with this guy that I clearly really like, so that's going to screw it up. But then you also still want us to be a perfect match, so now I have to live with him, even though now, because I know you slept with him, we're not going to be together. So it's like you're trying to, she's like, she probably feels like you're trying to do like a really cruel trick on me right now.
But again, it has no effect on whether or not they're actually a match. So it's not like it's the voting doesn't then make them a match. It's not like the house votes people who they think are a match and then they have to go away whether or not they're a match. So like, to me, voting in doesn't, we've seen it on the show, like voting in doesn't mean you're voting in someone you want to be a match. Like, now she says a very bitchy remark, like, have fun in the honeymoon. What does she say when she votes them in? She says something nasty.
Something like that. Yeah, like, have fun in the honeymoon suite, yeah.
But I don't think it's unprecedented for somebody who wants a couple to not be a match to vote in that couple.
Right, but they didn't just previously do something that if they were a match would just fuck them up.
But so what? Like, people hooked up with a million people in this house all the time, like, on different seasons. Mm. Like, I just feel like, since when is it like, oh, we went to the boom boom room, so now I can't leave the house with my perfect match. I mean, I understand there was no pre-existing relationship with Shelby and Curtis, but it would be like Shelby saying, don't put us in the truth booth because he's with Brianna, and then I have no shot at meeting someone else in the house while I'm here. You know, like, I get that there's different, like, you know, they didn't hook up previously, but I just, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, well, whether or not your perfect match is hooked up with you or someone else, you gotta go.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was the biggest egregious thing.
I mean, I'm sure some of it's also just her just channeling the anger she also has at Asaf and just anger at Francesca and just putting into this issue. But I mean, I understand the anger. I do.
Yeah, I can get my head around it if it's like misplaced anger, but I don't understand. Like, I'm going to have to go to the honeymoon suite with someone who had sex with you. Like, yeah, 90% of the couples that go to the honeymoon suite, their person they're with, like, already had sex with someone else. Granted, it was because they weren't interested in that person. But I mean, from just bringing up, I don't know why Shelby and Curtis are so in my head, but like, they had potential to have chemistry. You know, like, we saw it, like, Curtis held off for Brianna, but had Brianna not been in the picture, like, who knows? But Shelby can't, like, get pissed at Brianna for having a connection with her perfect match. You know, I don't know. So I thought that was a little thin. Molly Block has a question that we probably already answered, but did you guys find the drama between Asaf and Tori a little overplayed? In all fairness, Francesca did like Asaf first, and it's a show where you're encouraged to make multiple connections. I thought Asaf handled the whole thing well, telling Tori himself, not doing it in front of other people, being apologetic about it. What were your reactions to the whole situation? So I guess just closing thoughts. I won't belabor this anymore.
I mean, I guess, yeah, good job by Emily's owning up to it, but I mean, still doesn't take away from doing it.
So what's the wrong is that him and Tori had an established relationship, or the wrong is the timing of hooking up with Francesca?
It's the timing. Like, it's not even that they were together and they hooked up. It's knowing you're going to go into you're going into the truth booth. So if you're like, if you think this is your match, like, you might as well, like, this is you just starting to date, like, right now. Cause if you think this is your match, then you're going to be a perfect match. You're going to leave the house. So it's basically like you're just cheating on your girlfriend like the first day you start dating.
Yeah. I mean, cheating's a weird word, but I think it's weird.
I mean, the whole, it's not, yeah, it's not the right word, but it's just a weird thing to just do that. Like knowing you're going to go into the truth booth, to think that this is your perfect match and your supposed reason you're here is to find your perfect match, but then still the night before you could hook up with someone else.
Yeah, it's not cool. Like, I'm not justifying it at all. So, like, if I'm sorting my thoughts out through this episode about this, one, I think Francesca looked absolutely horrific the whole episode, and not the least of which is because she had sex with Asaf. Like, I felt like this was such a calculated move on her part. Like, she went from being heartbroken to, mm-hmm. like, seeing this opportunity, mentioning Tori. Like, she just comes out looking horrible, which really is the best revenge for Tori. I think Asaf's "I don't deserve you, I don't deserve you, I don't deserve you" is the most frustrating way to fight with someone because he just lays down. So it's like Tori can't even get the satisfaction of being angry at him because he's already saying like, no, no, you're right, I'm horrible, I'm horrible. Like, mm-hmm. that's meaningless. And yeah, I mean, I guess overall it was like pretty gross in terms of because Asaf demonstrated feelings for Tori, why then do you need to go have sex with Francesca the night before your date with someone you have feelings for? Whereas in other situations, the couples that are perfect matches have not demonstrated feelings for each other.
Right.
It wasn't a good look, but it is, you're in the parameters, as Molly is saying, a house where you're encouraged to make multiple connections with people.
Yeah. That's the fun dynamic.
I wouldn't want to be Francesca right now.
No, all he was trying to do was make her feel special.
Oh my god, that was disgusting. And a little preview, Francesca did tweet that it's only downhill from here.
Oh, buckle up.
All right, so then when they're not a match, this is where Tori lost me, to then say I feel bad for whoever your match is. I mean, maybe it's Francesca and then you don't feel bad because she's obsessed with him.
Right.
It's probably not Francesca.
Could be, who knows.
Speaking of not a match, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, this scene between Cam and Victoria.
This also felt like a night one scene, right? Like, all of a sudden just talking about like where they're from. Like, how do they not know this?
It might be. But to me, I mean, this is like oil and water here. But Cam, I think, is... Victoria's not saying like the best things. Now, I completely sympathize with absolutely everything she's saying about not being outdoorsy and I'd rather be at a spa. But when she says like you don't put a bumper sticker on a Bentley, which is only an insult to Cam, who has tattoos,
right?
He plays that off really well. Like, he's just taking everything she's saying and is like, well, I'm a Volkswagen then. Like, it was very cute, I thought, from Cam.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, for now I like Cam, but again, that's because he just hasn't been shown, so we'll say.
How do you feel about Steven?
Steven, I do kind of like, but like there was that weird thing with Julia and then him trying to act tough to John that didn't really make sense. But he has like a sleaziness about him that I can't really put my finger on. But it's just kind of like there.
See, for me, I find Steven so unlikable, but I can't identify why. So it's like the opposite. Like, you like him and you don't know why. For me, I find him like repulsive and I don't really know why. I think it's like, it's not like Scally, who's sleazy, but I loved, right? Like, this is like somebody who, I don't know. Maybe I just don't feel like he can really back it up.
Maybe.
Like, he's just this like shrimpy guy who's like going after the big kahuna and Julia and John. And, you know, he's just like this little guy who's with the Napoleon complex. I don't know.
I mean, he just looks better in the sea of guys, right? I think that's a big thing.
Not to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, and then the weirdest moment of the episode is this Gio and Steven conversation. A real meeting of the minds here.
Yeah, this was clashing out world affairs. If she's not my match, if she's not your match, if we close one door, if another door opens, if this happens. Yeah. Dynamic
my
stuff.
My whole reaction was, why are you saying this? Like, why is Gio saying this? If 800 things have to happen and the wind has to blow to the east and then the sun will set, why are you bringing this up now in advance of the 10 chain reactions that have to happen?
It's It's Gio. He's just such a buffoon. That's all I got.
It's overthinking it by about 1,000%.
And Steven, he's this kid's losing his mind. So yeah, he's just losing his mind.
Anything else before the matchup ceremony?
Not really.
You want to talk about?
I like Alyssa too. There you go. She's cool.
I love Sam and Alyssa. Like I don't like need to see them like making out for 20 minutes. Like I feel like I'd rather see like, great, they're together, but like let's hear a conversation. Like I don't know. Like we got like a very long scene of them in the pool, but I do love them.
Yeah. Shout out to them.
All right. So at the matchups, before we get to anything, I mean, if you get dumped and then have to be around your ex, pull a Caitlin and just show up naked. That was amazing.
She's not the first one to do that. People have just been wearing less and less clothes at these matchups. Camille did this last week. Like that's what started the whole thing.
Caitlin was definitely, styled by Camille, but body by Caitlin. I mean, good on Caitlin. And she just, Gio's going to reject me. Boom, I'm naked at the matchups. I thought that was incredible.
Works 2 out of 3 times.
But yeah, anyway, that's all I have for the matchup ceremony because I was just so distracted by Caitlin's bomb outfit.
I was distracted by Aesop's atrocious outfit. But.
Funny you should say that. We have a question about that. Gabby Gladney says, what's worse, Leighton's no-shirt suits or Aesop's overalls?
The overalls for Aesop were worse because he was only wearing it on like one arm. Like it was half on overalls with like a white t-shirt.
Yeah, that's like
that's a thing?
You never buckle both overalls. You have one swinging in the back.
Jesus Christ, I am so old.
I woke up like this. I mean, that's how I wore my overalls in like 6th grade.
Are overalls becoming trendy again? Is that what's happening?
For women, I don't think for men. Like he was wearing them like very like farmer in the Dell. But
he tweeted, he said he likes to be different. So that's what he likes to do.
Yeah, that's like a women's thing now is overalls. But I'm always going to go vest, no shirt is my biggest, biggest fashion fail.
There you go.
So I'm going to say Leighton was worse. The overalls are forgivable.
Forgot about Leighton. God, he was awful too. And they really find some awful guys on this show.
All right. So the matches.
Big country.
Please don't give him any more breaths.
So first up, Morgan picking Tori. Tori ready to move on.
Oh, yeah. If I have nothing to say, I'm just going to let you go.
I love that Prosper picked Nicole because those are my two favorite people in the house. So I really want them to be together. So there we go.
I wrote that. And for some reason, I wrote it in parentheses as though my notes need to be organized for anyone but me. But I wrote in parentheses, all caps, right out of the gate. I love this for no reason.
Yeah. And I it may continue for next week, but I'm sure one of them will do something stupid to piss me off and I'm really upset. So there we go.
I have faith. Because basically, I determine whether and how I'm going to feel about someone as their social media continues. And Nicole and Prosper have been fine on social media from what I've seen.
Nicole's been good. Asaf pick Camille.
All right, pause the tape.
And how about the little snap? I pick Camille. He snaps like he's at a freaking carnival or something.
As though Francesca could stand one more ounce of embarrassment tonight. It's like the ultimate slight is to sleep with someone and then pick someone that you just like have a connection with a little bit.
Like there's like, how does Francesca come back from this? Like how did, like
she doesn't,
she does, like there's no coming back, right? She's just done. Just
she's
going
to be
up.
Relegated to the Tyler spot, I think, for the next few weeks.
Maybe they're matches. There you go.
I mean, then Francesca says, like, if you thought we were just a physical match, like, why did you say you had feelings for me? And he's like, sorry, I just made you feel special. Like, that to me is the biggest dick thing that Asaf did in this whole day, is to blow up Francesca's spot like that and be so mean to her. And I need to know from Camille why she's like, that's okay.
I think it's just be the same reason why guys are in the Julia, right? Because he's just attractive. That's it.
No, but I think from what you're like, my thing with Julia is like, and I didn't mean to say you're into her, like you're in love with someone right on television. You're not Caleb from The Bachelor, but I'm just saying like why you are drawn to her, you're neutral to her and you're forgiving like this other stuff or not seeing it is the same, like the same thing the guys are seeing. Like she's cool. I don't know what these girls are talking about. She's really attractive and she's just nice. Like, I think it's different than Camille and Asaf. Like, I feel like Camille is like, we have a connection and I just have to, like, I don't know. I don't know why actually she's not seeing, like, it almost comes to the rule of like, he treated her badly, but he's not going to treat me badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. Like, if anything, it's just showing that he's going to screw you too, Camille.
And wasn't Camille's whole thing about, like, she's going to be strong and powerful and, like, her own boss and wants someone to, like, match her intellectually? Like, that is so far off from Asaf.
I mean, Camille presents strong here, but just, like, not in the way that I would have But yeah, no, she's definitely much, much more intelligent than Asaf by like a country mile, right. A big country mile. See what I did here?
Well done.
So we'll see. We'll see. I love Camille. I have like a total girl crush on her and everything she wears. But this was like a low moment. Not low enough to take. Maybe I feel about Camille and how Camille feels about Asaf. It's a low moment, but not enough to take her off the table as one of my favorites.
There you go. Still in the running.
Wow.
Next up, John and Victoria.
I had nothing on this. Did you have anything on this?
No, I didn't write anything. Then Gio and Kaylin.
So many questions about this. First of all the feels from Kaylin here. I almost cried. I'm not ashamed to say.
This felt a little too much. This felt like too much. It's like, oh, I was giving you my soul. I'll give you everything. I just wanted you. I just wanted to touch you. I was like, oh, it's enough.
I don't know. This was the realness. She hit you with the realness. I almost cried. That's all I can say. I'm not proud. I'm definitely not proud.
It's okay. We all have our moments.
But Nick Fishman says, I think an incredible thing about this season is that people are picking people for the sake of matches rather than just personal reasons, i.e. Gio picking Kaylin over Julia. So this isn't a question, but it leads me to want to know why. So why did Gio pick Kaylin here?
I mean, based on everything the show would depict, it seemed like, yeah, he was going to pick Julia. But if some of that stuff, I know the show is a show is a show, but if some of that stuff was in different order, then maybe the thing with Julia wasn't that strong. I mean, he said it himself. He's going to wait till the door closes, right? So, I mean, he did hint that he's not going to give up on the potential of a match until it's proven.
So I guess that's what I mean. Did he pick her because he wants to officially close his door with Kaylin? Like, he wants to go in the truth with her? Or did he pick her because he didn't want to get in the way of Steven and Julia? Or, like, did he just not want to look like a douche? Or was it because he thinks they're a match and he doesn't want them to black out? Like, I feel like there's, like, a lot of reasons to pick her, but I was still somehow surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think trying not to black out has got to be a big thing. And he must still think possibly they're a match. Got to think potentially. Right.
I don't know. I don't know what Gio thinks. I would say he's got to, and then insert like 1,000 things that he didn't do.
I mean, they've got to be the number one for next week, right? To get them into the truth booth, like that has to be goal number one.
I should hope so. I can't believe they've even gone this far.
Mm-hmm.
But then we continue on. I feel like every time after this, I thought it was the last matchup. I kept forgetting there were four more couples.
Right. Steven picking Julia. Tyler picking Francesca.
This is where I thought, I was like, oh, and the rejects are together. And then right. I didn't realize there were two more.
So two more. Sam picking Alyssa. And Cam and Emma.
So they get 4 beams, including McCameron. So only 3 new beams out of these 9 couples.
Yep.
And Nick Fishman says 4 of the 9 couples from last matchup stayed the same this week, meaning a perfect score was impossible. How many of the matches that stayed the same, Kaylin and Gio, Asaf and Camille, John and Victoria, Sam and Alyssa, do you think are for sure matches?
I mean, it's always tough to say like for sure, because like, We don't know. Like, how? I mean, I would guess Sam and Alyssa are a match, but as we've seen on the show, just because people are together and they're showing them doesn't even mean they're a match. They could just be totally wrong. But just based on the first few weeks, I would guess that Sam and Alyssa and Kaylin are, and Kaylin and Gio are matches. Like, it seems like the math would lean that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely don't know anything for sure that we're talking about on the podcast ever or in our own lives or just mine. I never know anything. But yeah, I mean, I thought this, when you look at the other couples, I thought Asaf and Camille, John and Victoria, Gio and Kaylin, and Sam and Alyssa stick out as the only four possible that I think could be a match. So I would venture to say...
What about our two favorite crew?
I think it's too good to be true. I'd be very happy to see Nicole and Prosper a match, but like, you know, maybe look. All right. So let's put five. I'll put them in there. Put them in there. And I, you know me, I'm always a sucker for the story. So I always believe like we saw it the whole time. They're definitely a match, even though, you know, I never learn. I think Kaylin and Gio just absolutely have to be a match because they're getting the rise and the fall, and then they're going to get the truth booth and it's just going to be brilliant television. I think we're just totally set up for that. I would say that John and Victoria are the weakest potential match out of these four, just because, like, but I don't know that we know anything. I just don't want them to be together. It's personal. I just like Victoria too much.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think Sam and Alyssa, that would be a devastating breakup, like almost to the point where you want to see it. But I was thinking when they were making out in the pool today, it was or the episode as though we're there today. Mm-hmm. Like if they were to be eliminated via truth booth or a blackout to the point where there was like still more show to do and they're not in a match, I don't think there's a prayer that Sam gets with anyone else in the house.
No, I don't think so. I think they would struggle to drift apart, I think. It would be a problem.
So Andrew Kirk says, with no airtime, the no airtime John got this past episode, do you guys think he's moved on from Julia, or will we still see the storyline come back in the upcoming episodes?
I would say he's probably moved on. I mean, doesn't seem to be at all interested. The problem when all these people drift back together, there needs to be like that mutual interest, right? So if there's no mutual interest, then I don't think anything's going to come of it again.
Well, I guess it would just be if like he flips out over Julia and Steven, or, you know, like not necessarily that they get back together, but just that we see more John bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. I feel like we're not seeing like a Devin and Kiki situation. And I mean, I don't even feel like Kaylin and Gio like dominate all of the episodes, you know, like I think there's like enough love to go around this episode, this season.
Right.
I don't expect that we'll see John like that anymore. I think we'll still see more John and Emma issues.
Yeah, I would definitely lean more that way, for sure.
Andrew Hansen says, at this point in the season, who do you think are looking like locks / would seem likely to be on a future season of The Challenge?
It's always tough because I wouldn't even guess the people that they put on The Challenge would even have been on The Challenge. So their casting for Mario, the one of The Challenge, has been a little weird. But
we are never right. Like, literally, we're never right.
I mean, I would guess someone like John would be high on the list to be on The Challenge, but we thought that about Leighton and he's nowhere to be seen. So it's really just throwing darts at a wall if you're trying to figure out who's going to go.
I would say John. I would say Prosper has a good chance. I think I'd love to see Tori on The Challenge. I think she's like the quintessential challenge female that I like to see, where she looks like potential to be athletic. She's like tough. She wants to hook up. She parties. Like, she's friends with people in the house. Like, she's just like kind of like the all around person I'd like to see. I feel like I could see her bridging an Are You the One real world gap better than, say, Amanda. But you need everyone from both sides. Exactly. You need the Amandas. You need the Tories.
You do.
Me personally. Haley Strong says, power rank the guys most awful to still awful, but not as awful. So I'm going to translate this to give me your favorite female, favorite male, least favorite female, least favorite male as we stand now at episode 4.
Okay, well, favorites are easy. Prosper and Nicole. So that's bing, bang, boom. So now least favorites. God, the guys, it's such a deep roster. It's got to be Gio. I just really don't like him at all. So I'll go with Gio. Least favorite girl. I really don't like Emma. She just annoys me to no end. So I'll go with Emma.
You're allowed. It's allowed. This is tough because it's almost like, is it least favorite, like personal, not personal. We don't know these people personally. Least favorite based on the episodes or in favorites based on the episode or like favorite and least favorite, but like good TV, like cast. I'm just thinking for my own answer.
Okay. There you go.
Like, then it's like the whole Tony debate. Like, I hate Tony. He's good on TV. But all right, I'll just go with like who I'd like to hang out with and who I'd never like to see in real life. Grant, I don't want to hang out with any of these people. I'm not trying to be friends with them. It's fine. I would say my favorite girl, give me Camille. And my least favorite girl, I don't even like this question that I asked. My least favorite girl, give me Julia. And then my favorite guy, give me Sam. And my least favorite guy, I feel like it has to be Steven, and I just don't know why. He's not done anything. Like, I just don't like his little, like, puffed out chest.
So maybe Steven and Julia are matches then. Both your least favorites.
That, just like Ben and Lauren from The Bachelor, that's how I knew they were, like, very far out, I knew she was going to be the winner, not because it was obvious, but because I hated them so much that they were perfect for each other.
There you go.
But I don't hate these people. Or the people on The Bachelor. Okay. Moving swiftly on. We have a lot of social media to get to. Anything else on this episode?
No.
Before we jump in?
Lay it on me.
All right. So the problem is like we're doing a bi-weekly recording, but this week we had a bi-weekly episode, or we skipped July 4th is just a better way to say that. But so like I had to go way back. And so this is going to be like a little messy. But something very important came to light about Julia from our friend Michelle Carvello on Twitter, who basically said Camille or Victoria wrote that Julia has a boyfriend. I'm paraphrasing now. Weeks ago, she deleted those tweets. You can ask them. Pretty sure they would. So basically, allegedly, Julia had a boyfriend the entire time on the show, which makes sense. Because you don't see her, like, even when she's saying she likes Steven, like, she's not, like, really flirting with him. Like, she's not treating him any differently than any other guy. What are your reactions to this?
How does MTV not know this? Like, how would they not find this out?
I mean, this happens all the time with other dating shows, and it's kind of like, well, maybe she broke up with him right before she went on the show. Like, you know, do you not cast someone you think would be good TV because they just got out of a relationship? Like, she could lie and say, I just broke up with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously it's a weird move to go on this. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're just going for the exposure. And it does make sense, like you said, with her and Steven. I mean, I don't think she's even kissed anyone on the show, right? Or at least they haven't shown it.
Yeah, and I would say she's not going to.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, look, no one has to kiss anyone, but nope. Why are you on the show? You're not going to be famous from this.
Not this much, much more impactful shows you can try to go on.
So Camille wrote to me, to be honest, I knew about it in the house. Why do you think I was so pissed? Who does that? So I guess I forget, but two episodes ago, she was pissed. And then she said, dating shows are for single people. No, with eye rolls. And so reality TV fan addict wrote to Camille and said, shame on production. Why even let that on the show? So great minds think alike. And Camille said, never blame production. They do so much work making sure these things don't happen. Blame the liars and deceivers.
Hmm.
So I guess everyone in Julia's life lied for her. And then reality TV fan addict said, I'm not saying it's right to go on a show like that, but who would turn down the opportunity? Sucks for the dude, I guess. And Camille said, no, sucks for us who knew in the house. And all right, so that's that. And Emma had a funny tweet that I pulled. I don't know where it is, where she was basically like, they were basically both coming for Julia because Julia had only tweeted up until that point, like, too busy with the stars for your drama, like something like that. And Emma wrote, like, she won't respond because she's too busy with the stars. It was pretty good. There was a fight erupted between Johnny and Steven. Shocking. And God, it's all out of order, but I'm going to do the best I can. He wrote, at one point, Johnny wrote, in response to something someone tweeted, she's a thought and no one wants to marry a thought. I just had a moment of weakness and bad choices. And if you'll recall, this is right after the episode where Johnny got on Steven for calling her a bitch. Right. And Steven said, speaking of derogatory comments about women, take responsibility for your actions like a man, hashtag boy. And I definitely didn't read this already, right?
No.
Okay, part of me was like, did I already say this? Okay, so then John said, thought and bitch aren't the same thing, bruh. Keep it moving. Which, I'm sorry, he couldn't be more in the wrong about. Like, to call her that hoe over there is worse, potentially, than the way that Steven called her a bitch.
Right, right.
Which was just like, if that bitch is my match. Like, it wasn't even like, you're a bitch. Then he said, yeah, we all know that boys and men aren't either. Don't talk about anyone like that, especially at Julia Rose with a rose emoji, hashtag boy. And then he wrote, Johnny wrote, haha, I love how you keep calling me a boy when I had to put you in your place for cursing at women. Go home, bro. And then cha cha cha. He then Stephen said, you didn't put anyone in place. All I heard was blah, blah, blah. Something, something, bitch. It was just noise, bro. Okay, my delivery was a little off there. Then Steven said,
I emailed it.
P.S. Damn right, my women. Say it again. 100 emoji, fire emoji. And I had to go back because I was like, when did Johnny call Julia Steven's woman? I think he's referring to, he said, I had to put you in your place for cursing at women. And Johnny said, Steven somehow read, my women. Say it again. That was stupid.
Mm.
Continues, Johnny says, you have such a big mouth for a little guy at Steven John II. Clearly, we're sheltered life. That shit don't work in the real world, little guy. Yeah, the real world of Nebraska. Steven said, bro, you ask for shit like a toilet. Just flush, bro. Hashtag bye, Felicia. And John said, you're just a joke telling jokes, bro. And you're not funny, my man. I'm younger than you and still am more of a man than you. Smirk emoji, peace sign. And Steven said, haha, I'm 6'1", 185, bro, which to me is the shock of the century. Flex emoji, hashtag Twitter fingers. And then Johnny obviously has to respond with his weight and says, I'm 6'5", 240. Again, keep it moving, smirk emoji. And then Johnny said, or I could put, oh, then Alfred M on Twitter said, save it for the reunion, bra, with a gif of Stephen Colbert in 3D glasses eating popcorn. And Johnny said, or I could put his little 5'9", 165 pound punk ass in his place. Again, out your weight class, bruh.
Stuffing people in lockers.
I mean, to me, like, if I'm on Stephen's side in this, like, you done messed up. It continues. Are we done with this? Or
no, I'm still listening. Let's go.
All right. So Steven says, shit, bro. I'm not trying to be funny. Just telling it how it is. Johnny says, whatever you say. Oh, sorry. Laugh cry emoji. Whatever you say, bro. You must still think Julia is into you too. Laugh cry emoji. So flanked with the laugh cries. And then Steven says, bro, you're still into Julia. Who are you kidding? Walk. Dot, dot, dot. Lol. And then Johnny says, you're clearly sleeping, my dude. I have a girlfriend and it's not my ex. Peace sign, middle finger emoji. Whatever the hell that means. And Steven says, in that case, you better walk away from this kid with a Zendaya gift saying bye. And then someone, Essence on Twitter, jumps in, you having a girlfriend, but you were punching walls because you wanted to be with Julia. Someone, again, who thinks that the show is live. And Johnny says, I got a girlfriend after the show. Come on, people. It's not rocket science. Hashtag SMH. Translation, shake my head. Over her before Maui. You can only fool me so many times. And then Johnny in a separate thread says, to those guys who grow a beard, go get some tattoos and all of a sudden think they turned into a badass. Keep it fucking moving. Hashtag IDFWY slots emoji, I'm going to call it, which is just when it's the eyes and the face are all perpendicular line. I mean, sorry, parallel lines.
Wow.
Little slots. Yeah. As though you could insert a coin into any of the slots. Now, what is IDFWY? I don't feel words, yo.
IDFWY?
Yeah.
I don't Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, maybe it's I don't F with you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I came up with that thinking of a joke and then was like, oh, wait, this is real.
Yeah.
So then Steven says, why don't you tag me in this next time, brah? No need to hide right here. Fire emoji. And John says, just tired of seeing your face, man. Keep fucking moving, man. Honestly, it's just he invited this. And Steven says, go bounce on your trampoline. Double laugh cry emoji. John says, I hope you find your jokes funny because no one else does. 100 emoji. Then Steven says, hell yeah, I do. And that's all that matters. 100, 100 key. And that's when I stopped following him. So I did my best.
You made it very long. I'm proud of you.
Oh, my God. These people. But really, it reflects so much more on me. Gio and John Jacobs from an irrelevant season got into it. It's so not important. Because basically, Gio is just as sensitive on Twitter as he is on the show.
There you go.
And I think that about does it. But I did catch up on Periscope this week.
Did it? You said, was there anything important? You said nothing from today.
No, no,
right?
No. There was nothing. No, no. There's nothing from the MTV sanctioned interview.
Oh, what do we got from the outside?
So Asaf Periscoped and it's painful. Basically, it's like 20 minutes before he even starts talking about the show. Like he just keeps saying like the best lie is the truth. Like my mom tells me the best lie is the truth. I'm going to speak from my heart.
The best lie is the truth. What does that even mean?
I only report, okay? I can't analyze the Facebook stuff. But he just keeps saying, like, a lot of things are against me, but I'm going to speak from the heart. So it's like 20, 25 minutes before he gets to it.
I'm going to love like a warrior.
But then he finally says, like, someone finally is like, this is actually a perfect example, just so you can understand what it would be like to watch a Sauce Periscope. Somebody wrote, like, why'd you have sex with Francesca? And he read it and was like, okay, you want to know why I had sex with Francesca? There's a reason. But first, where are you guys from? Where are you guys from? And that's like 20 minutes into the Periscope.
Oh my God.
All right. So then he says that he liked Tori the whole time and he didn't think Francesca was for him. But Tori was with Steven and people don't know that. That's what he said. And it hurt his feelings and he couldn't handle it because Tori was with Steven. He then says, this is where the big point of contention is. He says she was sleeping with Steven. She was kissing Steven. And then he immediately says, like, not like having sex with him, just literally like sleeping in bed with him.
That language barrier. I'm telling you, you can get away with murder.
No, but he corrects it immediately. Then he says, because he was hurt by Tori, that's why he had sex with Francesca. And we know what happened. We know the truth, Francesca. You don't have to be in this situation. If we felt it was right, we let our feelings control us, which is good, friend. Be strong. Which to me, so he says this to Francesca. What kills me in this is he basically says, I only slept with Francesca out of revenge because I was upset with Tori. And then he says to Francesca, we let our feelings control us, which is good. No, it's not good that you let your jealousy control you to have sex with someone else and use her.
Right.
That is not good.
That's not good.
All right. And then Asaf adds that Julia had a boyfriend the whole time and Julia sucks. All right. So that's Asaf's Periscope. Francesca does about a 9-minute Periscope that was not important at all. So the one thing I will say is that she's getting death threats, which I will just say is absolutely ridiculous.
That's insane. And
if somehow there's an intersection of a Venn diagram with people who listen to this podcast and people who issue death threats to Francesca, knock it off.
If you care that much about Asaf and Tori being together, you need to reevaluate your entire life.
Said from two people who talk about this twice a week.
Exactly.
All right. And then just wrapping up here, Tori's Periscope, the highlights are she basically then is on a crusade to clear her name. I guess some listener told her that Asaf said that they slept together, Tori and Steven, and she like will not even hear that that's not what happened. Because then people are writing like that didn't happen. That's not what he said. He just said you literally slept. And she's just like, we never had sex. And Steven's here on the Periscope. Like she had Steven join the chat to back it up. Which she does clarify, she says that Steven and I were not together. Steven was with Julia and I was with Asaf. So, Asaf was lying, apparently, or had confused the timeline. So, Asaf is alleging that it was out of jealousy, but Tori saying I was never with Steven at that point. and reiterates that they didn't have sex. And then during the Facebook Live with MTV, Tori interrupts to say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Asaf is lying on Periscope and I never had sex with Steven. She says that on the Facebook Live.
Okay, so Tori and Steven hooked up. That's big news.
No, but what's frustrating is Asaf never said that. And that continues on. So if you're ever speaking with Tori, please let her know that Asaf did not say that they had sex. And so, that just saved you about 35 minutes of Periscopes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, world. I don't do it for the glory. I don't do it for the thanks.
You're getting them anyway. You're getting them anyway.
All right. And that is, that's my time. I officially start my podcast vacation.
Boom. You're off this week from the challenge. I will have a special guest. We'll be back in 2 weeks for Are You the One? We'll touch on episode 5 and cover episode 6. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me at BusDriverDrop.
And you can follow me at LashTweets. I will be hopefully periscoping watching the challenge with Johnny, who I recorded my last podcast with, and personal favorite Molly Block. So hopefully that gets off the ground.
Boom. We'll have to cover that. I'll have to cover that in the social media portion, I guess, for this week.
It probably won't happen. I honestly will probably forget.
Okay. So look for that possibly coming this week. If not, talk to you next time. Have a good one.